We continue our tour through the Sermon on the Mount, and this is iFaith Sermon on the Mount, I, as in the letter I, on anger. Last time, we looked at the Pharisees and also fulfillment. Jesus explains that he's not against the law. He's not here to, like, let's say, let's throw away the Old Testament, but he's meant to show us God's heart, how it should be lived. And in the second passage we looked at, which is Matthew 5:20, he said that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. So the Pharisees were failing to fulfill the law. Jesus is showing what that means through his life. And fulfillment also has a lot to do with loving other people. Now, there's six areas where he critiques the Pharisees on their traditions, or you could say he's critiquing Judaism in general. So from here on, we're going to take up various points of the law of Moses, and these are important. They're not trivial. The things Jesus will bring up in these next sections are murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, retaliation, enemies. None of these is minor. All of these are very significant. Our text is six verses long. Let me just read the entire thing, and then we'll find out what Jesus means as we explore anger, and then end with a number of practicals. You have heard that it was said by those of old, you will not kill, and whoever kills will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother rashly will be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be in danger of the council. Whoever says, fool, will be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, the judge deliver you to the officer, and you're cast into prison. And truly I say to you, you will by no means come out from there until you have paid the last penny. Okay, let's clarify some of the things that may be a bit unfamiliar. Raca, an Aramaic term of contempt. Like fool, it's not a swear word. It's not respectful. The council there is probably referring to the Sanhedrin, the group of 71, the elders who were the leaders of Israel. He refers to the altar because this is still with Judaism. If you're going to the temple to offer a sacrifice, it's more important that you resolve things with your brother or sister. We don't have an altar today in Christianity, but the principle certainly applies with respect to our own worship. And then he refers to the practice of debtors' prison, people who cannot pay debts are thrown into prison, which that was still happening in Western culture not that long ago. And you'd have no, what could you do unless you had friends on the outside? You might spend a long time there, maybe your whole life. Today we have a thing called bankruptcy. In a lot of countries, you can file for bankruptcy and your debts are wiped out for the most part. I don't think there was such a thing back then. There was no do-over. Okay, so Jesus says, you've heard that you shouldn't kill people, but I'm telling you, if you're angry, you're in trouble, as though somehow anger is the equivalent of murder. So he's touching on something in the law or in Jewish popular teaching and contrasting it with his own kingdom teachings. And he'll do that for all six sections. He's not contradicting the Torah. He's calling us to the heart of the law, to a higher standard. He explains the law. And when he says, you've heard, but I say to you, he's setting himself up as an authority who's interpreting or judging the law because he's a new lawgiver. Moses gave the first Torah and Jesus is the second Moses. That's how he's presented in Matthew. So you shall not murder. Exodus 20 verse 13. Jesus obviously doesn't eliminate the commandment. He doesn't criticize it. But he broadens it. He enlarges it. He tells them that they're not even to be angry with other people. In 1 John 3:15, the apostle says, Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And you might say, well, my hatred for that fellow isn't murderous. No, Jesus says if you hate someone, it is murderous. Doesn't mean you're guilty of murder, right? It does mean that it is dangerous. Jesus is amazing. He has no hesitation to modify the laws that Moses gave, to speak with authority. Now look, he's not condemning all anger, but nearly all anger. He's condemning anger that is rash, that's selfish. Anger because we've been offended. I don't think he's saying you shouldn't be angry if someone tries to kidnap your child. you shouldn't be angry if someone steals your identity. Right? But the problem is, that's not what normally happens every day. Family members being kidnapped, having our identity stolen. Usually it's little things that get us going. I feel like I do pretty well in general with anger. I'm pretty thick-skinned, look hard to offend. But man, I had a conversation this week where I felt myself starting to get angry, and I couldn't figure out why. It was a little thing. I don't think Jesus ever got miffed or ticked off or irritated in that way. There were times when he was angry, but look at Jesus's anger, and you'll say, well, that's not me. I'm hardly ever like that. Our anger tends to be for petty things. It's when we're inconvenienced, right? Jesus himself regarded religious leaders with anger, right? Because of their hard-heartedness. So he's not saying anger is always sinful, but the position I've come to, and I've shared in some of my writings, is that it's almost always sinful, almost always. Now you'll say, well, what about Paul in Ephesians 4? Paul says, when you're angry, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, yeah, we need to resolve things. And when you're angry, it's easy to sin. But anger itself is usually a sin. But not always. It could be an emotional state. In Ephesians 4, Paul is quoting from Psalm 4:4. So right, it's possible to be angry, and then we catch ourselves, and it's okay. But this is the danger. Anger is such a dangerous thing. Anger is the word danger without the D. Okay. So it's usually sinful. As far as calling someone fool, I mean, I don't think we should do that today. These are mild insults. They're not profane. They are disrespectful. The thing is, Christians, I mean, we're supposed to always be respectful. We're to treat others with perfect courtesy, as I think I read in Titus in the English Standard Version. Because unrighteous attitudes towards others, that affects our prayer. You know, if we're offering our gift to God, but there's unresolved mess with someone else, this is not right. Even under the Torah, in the prophets, God rejects sacrifices from those who have unclean hands. It's like communion, 1 Corinthians 11:29. We shouldn't be taking communion if we're not discerning the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters. If we're not in a right relationship to them, if we're taking advantage of them, then it's a mockery of Christ and his body to take communion. This is something to think about. Okay, let's talk about a few practicals. Considering what Jesus said about anger and insults, what am I supposed to do if I've been angry at a fellow Christian or if I've insulted somebody? Well, Jesus provides the answer. Waste no time. Connect. Get reconciled. I mean, are there people that you and I need to initiate with? It may not be pleasant. It may be costly. Sometimes it's costly in time or it costs money to go to the person if they don't live next door to you. But I think Jesus is saying it's a lot costlier not to reconcile. And after all, we are called to be peacemakers, Matthew 5:9. Now, the Lord understands that our best efforts may fail. we may be trying to work things out with someone and it's rejected, it's spurned. Romans 12:18, Paul says, do your best, as far as it depends on you, to live at peace with all people. But we need to be willing to make that effort to be reconciled. And I wonder how many people in a typical church take communion every Sunday when there's a list of people that, well, there's bad blood, there's a resentment or even hatred. Have we ever not taken communion? Have you ever not taken communion? When did we last refuse communion because of unfinished business with a brother or sister, someone who had a problem with us? This is not a suggestion, or this is not theoretical. This is reality in every church. And when we're growing angry, I think warning lights should go off. I mean, often we feel it viscerally. We feel it in our gut. Like you can feel your tightening of the guts, or you can feel your blood pressure is going up. Usually, anger is born of self-interest, and it's sinful, nearly always. So when we're growing angry, pay attention to those warning lights. Now, in the next subject in the series, it's on lust. Jesus will continue to call us higher, and certainly he's destroying the foundation of those who thought they were obeying the law, the Torah, when they were really only trying to look good and just focusing on the external. So these are some great thoughts here. I hope they make a difference in your day and that we'll be respectful, loving, forgiving, and cautious, understanding the great danger of anger, the importance of reconciliation. God bless you. Have a great day.